Seven, eight. Caffeinated faith with Ray and D. Jesus talk.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We are on the air.
Yes. As you guys can see, we have a lovely, my twin right here. We have a lovely guest on today.
Yes. We have Rachel's mother, woman of many hats. This beautiful woman is our pastor's wife. She's a mom. She's a grandma. She works full time. She does way more than I'm listing right now. And we'll talk about that a little bit.
Ooh.
But,
Ooh, is right.
The look. But yeah, so instead of it being just for Mother's Day again this year, mm-hmm. we are doing it Mother's Month. Because, of course, I mean, you should celebrate them every month, but,
yeah. Every day, actually. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
It could be, like, an awesome guest slash Mother's Day thing. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here
you for
today.
Having me. Thank you.
You're a great role model to me and so many. So I just appreciate everything that you've done and that you're doing in life. And should I start with a couple, like, warm-up questions?
Not yet.
Okay.
I do have a verse that goes with you.
Oh, snap. What's been the verses out already? Right.
This is my one and only verse that I have today.
You better know it took mine.
I swear.
I swear.
What's it called? So I have a verse that, because looking back at my whole nice life of 30 years, obviously I had you by my side. So I have a verse that kind of wraps you up in my mind. And that is...
Oh, boy.
The verse is Proverbs 31. Verse 25 through 28. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her.
Wow.
So.
That suits her very well.
It does suit you very well. It definitely honors you as a godly woman, but you always had that strength and the wisdom, not just for us, but like everybody gets that from you. And basically, it's something that always carried on because, like, obviously, Sarah and I have always watched you. And I do see us like you in ways, many ways. And
say that again? I'm just kidding.
I know I didn't hear it very clearly either. What?
And what I like about the verse is that it explains being clothed with strength and dignity, because it's not just something that you just showed people. It's something that covered you and became part of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when it said she can laugh at the days to come, it just reminds me of how you're not overwhelmed by fear of the future. And you actually taught me that when I did have a lot of anxiety before, like waking up from it. And I would always be afraid of, like, what's going to happen in that day. Like, for some reason, I always thought something bad was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And she always told me, you know who holds your future. And mm-hmm. so then now that she said that, every time, like, I might get that, I just say it out loud. And, like, I obviously pray to God.
And you.
And it keeps me at peace. So the whole verse kind of describes her in multiple ways than what I just explained. But that was wrapped up in one.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
Seeing you, and you always think that when your kids are going through the teenage years, we really don't know anything. We're not cool. Although I thought I was pretty cool. But, you know, like, just those awkward moments or so. So you kind of, like, you know, jump through the teenage years and you wait till they grow up into adults to really look back.
Yeah. But look, even throughout those times, she held on to all of that.
Yeah.
And she's told me many more things than just that she's held on to from you as well and your family.
You know, I don't know why, but I feel like you've always been outspoken with your feelings and, like, in the moment or whatever the case is. I feel like I always tended to hold things in. So, like, I'm really more sentimental in my mind than I really am out loud.
Okay, so I accept your brain hugs.
I actually never thought of it that way.
Oh, not so tight.
But yes, so that's how I want to start off my
love it
my thing.
Okay. I think I'm going to save my scripture till the end after we do all the questions and stuff. So.
Oh, questions.
If you're ready to hop in a few questions.
Look at the time.
The juicy parts are coming.
The juicy. Let's start with some fun questions first. Okay. So my first one is, if you had a free day with no responsibilities at all, what would you do?
Oh.
Since you're just you're always doing something, you're busy most days, and it's kind of rare.
So if I had a free day,
like you had no responsibilities, no church stuff, no family things, you know, events. Okay.
So first of all, I would probably have to leave the state.
Yeah.
And usually, and I say that to Dad sometimes when we go on our little New Hampshire getaways, because you're not accessible to anything or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but staying home, honestly, this may sound lazy or bad, but I'm always like on a time clock or so that I look forward to actually just jumping on my bed and maybe turning on a little show or whatever and just chilling.
I don't blame you for that at all.
I would do it in your massage chair.
Oh, yes. On those moments where I really need it, yeah, I hop into the massage chair that my kids got me a few Christmases ago. Yeah,
it's in her room too, right next to the TV.
It's right in my room. I can actually see the TV from it. But yeah,
so you'd either relax at home or you'd go drive out of state and kind of find something relaxing to do there.
We drive all the way to New Hampshire and do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Even in the mountains, you
look at a pretty sight or something.
Just chill, you know, because, you know, we're always on the run or always on the time clock or you know, pulled in different directions. So it's kind of nice to just go in a different direction up north.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. That would probably be my answer too. Get away or just kind of relax with nothing. Yeah. Okay, my next question is, what is one worship song you could sing all day and not get tired of?
I feel like I know this one.
Do you? Let me test you. What is it?
I don't know now, because you could go either way. It's the one that I always knew that you liked, or it's another worship song that we do in church.
One that we do in church, probably.
Okay. Blessed Assurance.
Nope, not that one. That is my all-time favorite hymn, but I would probably have to say Goodness of God.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably Goodness of God. You know, Blessed Assurance is my... I have claimed that is going to be the hymn of heaven.
Okay.
I love that one. How Great Thou Art is, you know, holds a special place, you know, in my heart as well.
That was the other one I was going
to
say.
That one's a tiring one to sing.
Yeah, but it, you know, it has a personal connection, you know, for me.
Love it.
Another personal connection is the song, it's called My Tribute. I've sung that maybe... very far between the times that I've sung it, but I sang it at my mother's funeral, but it was also the very, very first song that I ever sang as a solo.
Oh, cool.
I'll
have to look that
up. Don't make
me
do math, but it was at least a good 40,
wow,
40 years ago. So, yeah.
I'll have to look up that song in here.
Yeah, no, that's it's a powerful song. Okay. So, but... to sing it every day or a song that commonly pops into my mind would be Goodness of God.
Those
because of the
lyrics
chorus
are great.
Exactly.
Because
the lyrics, you can personalize it. And he truly has been faithful, you know, all my life. He's been faithful in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So.
Is that the one that says your goodness is running after
That's
me?
That's the one that I sing in
it's
amazing. The other episode by myself.
Oh, yeah. You did. She did sing that song. When I was on vacation, but just the your goodness is running after me. That lyric is so strong that it can literally just hit you right in your heart and your soul. So I get that. Beautiful.
I don't have fun ones. I went deep.
Yeah, those are my fun ones. So
okay,
you want to kick it off with the deep?
Are you ready?
Oh, look at the time again.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so because Dad became a pastor after you guys were married, and he became a pastor in 94, because as long as I've been alive. So you had Josh and Sarah. So how was your walk with Jesus as strong as it was when you became a mom? How was your walk with God different before or after?
Before or after she became a mom?
Well, before or after, I guess. Yeah, like, because you obviously, it was different when Josh and Sarah were born, because you guys basically, like, he wasn't, was Josh here when Dad was a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess as a pastor duty, because that's when, like, more roles came on to you, I would say. So basically, yeah. When Josh and Sarah were here, Dad wasn't a pastor, and you were a Christian woman. But then when I came along, more duties were there because Dad was the pastor and you.
Right. So
I don't know how to ask that question, but.
But basically your question is, if my faith or my walk with God was stronger at any.
Yeah, because obviously it's different when it's just you doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I came along, it probably changed because then you had you and Dad as like that powerhouse together.
Oh, the whole world changed when you arrived.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Let's see. So, so when your brother and sister, you know, were born, Dad was, Dad came into Christianity, just probably within our first 2 years of marriage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't too long.
Josh came then.
Yeah, and then we were married almost 3 years by the time Josh, your brother, was born. So which was great. And as we say sometimes, you know, God's timing is perfect, and it is always perfect. And I knew deep in my heart, you know, that God had a purpose for my life, and that the life mate that he picked for me, being Dad, everything was going to work out just right, and it did. And so when your brother and sister were born, Dad was getting active in the church or so, with children's church, and then he became a deacon, then later on, yeah, a youth leader or whatever. Your brother and sister actually, you know, started their school life in a private, you know, Christian school. So because Dad had a secular job that paid very well. But then when the day came that he was offered to go into full-time ministry at the church that we were serving in, that changed because, you know, the income changed. You know, clergy income isn't as glamorous or as much as like a secular job. But, you know, again, goodness of God, you know, he was faithful. He was always faithful, and pretty much our lives never went without, like you guys, you know, never went without. And I think that I wouldn't say that my faith and my walk with God was always strong, even as a teenager, and then into marriage. But then even with every new season of our life, because then when your brother was born, and then your sister was born, and then a few years later you were born, it just kept strengthening and strengthening. And God's faithfulness was just more visible, you know, with each step, you know, like again, like Dad's income changed drastically, but we never went without. Yeah. You know, God always provided. Even when we hit some rough patches, you and your siblings were never aware of that. It never, you know what I'm saying? And then as you guys came about, you know, and God blessed us, you know, with three kids from the crib side, and I've said this before, from the crib side, we'd always pray for each one of you individually, and actually even for your life mates. And so, which is what I attest today, all three of you married well. You know, all three of you have life mates. Your brother has a wife, you and your sister have husbands that complement what your upbringing was, and what your faith has become, and that is why we're able to be a ministry family, you know, today and serve today.
It's a testimony in itself.
Mm-hmm. And I think what strengthens your faith, someone's faith, which it did for mine, is with every season that we went through, even in ministry, growing in ministry. You know, you're not born knowing how to be a pastor or be a worship leader or whatever. You have those growing pains, and you scrape your knees a lot and you shed some tears here and there. But that builds your faith as well and just strengthens you with every season that comes. Sure. Especially when those three kids hit teenage years. Yay! Oh,
that was probably the hardest one for you.
Goodness. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to
those move on. Let's move on past those teen years.
Oh, man. Well, let's put you back with, if you could go back and encourage your younger mom self, what would you say?
Ooh,
that's a good spinoff.
Yeah. I know. I had to do that.
I don't know. Because that was always so cool. So I think at this age and stage in my life, looking back, I think I would tell my younger mom self to just keep on doing what I'm doing, following how God has led me to bring up my kids, because sometimes myself and my husband, your father, we had kind of like an interesting cultural relationship when we were younger, in that we were traditional, like we held on to those cultural traditions, because that's how both of us were brought up. They were never allowed to call someone older than them unless by their first name. Mm-hmm. They had to say sir or ma'am if they were speaking to someone in Portuguese, or to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And but on the same token, having come here young, mm-hmm. and living in this culture, in the American culture, I feel like we had kind of like a good balance of, like, there were going to be certain, they had a curfew, like when they started dating their, today spouse.
Yeah.
They had a curfew. I didn't care how old they were. The girls got married in their 20s, and they don't interrupt me, girlfriend. and even Josh, even being a boy, he had a curfew as well. It was just that level of respect of, what's right, what's good. But on the same token, we could be a little contemporary in the sense, me more so probably than dad, my husband, or so, in the sense of, like, when friends would come over, mm-hmm. it would be okay for them to come over. It'd be okay for them, to go, out with them, mm-hmm. up to a certain point, what I'm saying? Things like that. So there was a little bit of a balance, but I think sometimes through that, I would often question myself, like, are we being too strict on them? Are we being too, I had a very strict upbringing. I mean, mm-hmm. my upbringing was culture totally from the old country, just that we lived here. That's the only difference, But I always wanted to have, being a young mom and having young kids, I wanted them to feel like they could come to me. It wasn't just a strict culture, but that there was that balance. So often I would question myself. I would kind of doubt myself.
Okay.
Are we being too forceful? Are they going to be okay? Are they going to be mischievous? Because it's the reins are held in or so. Yeah. But then as I've seen them grow and develop and marry well, mm-hmm. Answer to prayer, their spouses, and start their own lives. And even to this day, seeing how they've flourished and how they've grown, made their own mistakes. They have made mistakes. Trust me, they mm-hmm. have made mistakes, but how they come out of that. I'm glad that upbringing gave them a balance of right and wrong, and what's okay and what's not appropriate.
We knew what to do.
Exactly. Knew what to do without me having to remind or be on them.
Yeah.
So they had the cultural upbringing and the Christian upbringing, which it goes hand in hand. That had a lot to do with it as well. You know, what's biblically right, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what is pleasing in God's eyes, what isn't. Whether it's their behavior, even their appearance,
mm-hmm.
Their appearance. So I think I would just tell myself, Eunice, young Eunice, chill.
You're doing okay.
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Trust yourself.
Yeah. And I would pray a lot. And then, God, you know, just leave me to be the mom. I want to be that mom that, you know, they're going to look up to or be proud of or, you know, not be embarrassed. And I can still remember to this day, at one point, I would walk Josh to his bus stop when he was in middle school because I used to take the bus. I worked in downtown Providence and you don't work to pay to park there. Mm-hmm. And so we'd have to kind of go in the same direction. So I remember him even in middle school age, where it's kind of like that age, like, my mom's coming or whatever. He purposely, without me asking, he would actually kiss me goodbye, regardless of who's, you know, who was standing there. And that's like my kids never worried about like, you know, those girls have name brand sneakers. Mine are the less name brand sneakers, so to speak. Or so they never really cared about that, you know? Yeah. So, but that inside, like to myself, you know, sometimes I'd be, I hope even when their friends would come over, sometimes I would act goofy because I wanted to be like, I hope they think that I'm cool. Like, I don't want to be like that mom, just this is what you got to do or you can't do.
Let me tell you, all my friends,
part of your personality too.
All my friends love you.
Oh, I did used to tell them when they were younger and their friends used to come over like from in high school and stuff like that. I used to say, you guys know that your friends come over for me, right? I don't even know if they
and
like
as
you.
I got older, a couple of my friends call you mom and I'm like, that's my mom. Like, you have your own mom.
You know, it's all right.
That's okay. I can be shared.
She calls me her adopted daughter
yes.
for a reason.
Well,
I think you know. Would just like tell yourself to trust the process more, right?
Yeah. Chill out, Girl Scouts.
Chill out. Yeah.
And I think for the most part, like exterior, I hope that I did come across as like, you know, hey, you know.
I mean, you look playful. It's not like you look so like, you don't look like a Karen.
It's in your personality. You are a playful person.
But they knew the limits.
The limits,
yeah. But they knew the boundaries.
When you saw the eyebrow raise.
They knew the boundaries, yeah.
Look, she'd be doing it now. No, but earlier when you were talking about curfew, I was going to say it didn't matter if we were just dating or if we were engaged. We had a curfew even at engaged. It went from 10 o'clock dating to 11 o'clock married. Like, before we got married.
Until the day before they got married.
That is amazing. You don't see that very often.
And actually,
I think it's a beautiful thing.
And actually, I didn't care about it because I was like, oh, okay, like it was what it was for me.
But you're used to it.
People would always be like, oh, you have a curfew? That's early, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, actually, I'm tired by that time, so it's fine. But like,
I remember when you were engaged and I just thought, and I talked to you about it too, I'm just like, you guys don't even like sleepover, anything. Like, I wasn't really Christian, like,
it was
in the faith
that
much either, so I didn't get it. I was like, you guys just go home and go to sleep. You're engaged.
How about this? Even
it was weird to me.
Even when we got the house, I wasn't living here for the 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And it was so weird to tell clients.
And she still had the curfew.
Yeah, I did.
That was weird, too.
Yeah, but you know how weird it is to tell clients, like, they're like, oh, you got the house, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, we're moving his stuff in. And like, oh, you're not yours. And I'm just like, have to explain it to them.
Oh, yeah. Their brain must have exploded.
Because I was 26 when I got married. So like, oh, you're a 26-year-old. You're not living in the house that you're paying for. And I'm like, it's only 6 months anyway. It's not that serious. So I've did it my whole life. So,
but I love that you didn't conform to any of that. And you stuck with what you believe in, what is right. And you respected that as your kid.
And because there's consequences
amazing.
To everything. So
like the eyebrow.
One of my questions, actually, we're kind of semi-talking about it. How did you balance being a mother but also your calling in the church? Now, this is when you had all the hats. So, like, when you started going full-time ministry. Because I'm obviously younger than the other ones. The other ones, my brother and sister had their own lives by that point. So, me being young still, and you having all those hats, how did you balance being a mom as well?
Well, when you were born, your brother was 7 and your sister was 5. And we were already in full speed ahead, you know, in ministry. So, for your father to go full-time ministry, as I had mentioned, you know, several years before, for him to go, well, not several years, you know, Josh was only 7. So he was full-time ministry maybe for 3 years or so, 3 or 4 years at that point. I always worked full-time outside of the house. outside of the home. So he you know, resigned from his secular job and was full-time ministry only, a full-time pastor. I kept my full-time job outside of the home, you know, to help with the, obviously with the finances, and you three love to eat, especially your sister. And, you know, and with life in general, or so. And, but I was already very active full-time in ministry, around my other, you know, outside work. Outside work and home, and all that. So, fortunately, your brother and sister liked to hold you in church and play with your face while I was leading worship and stuff. But I think that also helped. What was helpful with juggling, getting you guys, that you guys got accustomed. That's why now, like as adults, getting to church so early and being there for 5 hours on a Sunday morning is natural, isn't difficult. When you guys were younger, we'd be at church a lot. I had responsibilities, and if you get sleepy, I'm like, there you go.
If we
pick a spot on the floor, well, or pick one of those chairs or pews.
If we didn't feel well, we went to church.
Oh, exactly. That you can thank your grandfather for. He instilled that in me, so I passed it on. But it's all, you know, when it's a calling, you know, God obviously called this to be our life. He was going to make it work out for the whole family. It wasn't going to be where, you know, dad became a full-time minister and okay, and everything works out for him and we're all struggling. It had to complement me as well together, as a couple, as a husband and wife. But then you add it on, but then, you know, to have children, God was going to orchestrate it in such a way that it would all work out. It's not easy. It's not always easy. It wasn't always easy, especially when you guys were smaller or whatever, but it was a group effort. You know, we obviously did it together, and it's like we say at church, even at our church today, it takes a village. Or so.
She says that too.
Yep. And it, she so it all worked out. I mean, as you guys got older, obviously it's easier. It got easier. You didn't have to, you know, I didn't need to cater to you, to the kids, you know, as much they could do for themselves or whatever. But it was a little bit stressful at times, but it all worked out.
I could think about, like, even behind the scenes though, like not just at church with what you had to do there physically, but like behind the scenes, because I was the younger one, I was always at home. I always saw you like, okay, you have to do this at the computer, you have to do this here, but then you also have to cook dinner. But then
washing machine was going.
Yeah, and I was the, since I was the younger one and I was always at home, I was always bored. So then my mom had to also cater to me in that sense, because I kept saying, I'm bored. I remember her cooking dinner or doing dishes, and she'll be playing games with me at the same time so that I'm not bored. But
and sometimes and kind of incorporate, let's play This Is How You Wash the Forks.
Yep. Exactly.
So, you know, just kind of, you know, incorporate that too. I've always been an organized person, and I think that perhaps God created me that way. I mean, and I can really, you know, multitask well. I mean, so that helped. But I think having to, you know, the life that was created for us, you know, that God led us to, all worked out well because you know, he equips us for, he already knows what our life is going to be, because that's how he created us, you know, to live. 100%. You know, everyone's life is different, but he equips us for what he has planned for us, you know, has in store for us. So
that's definitely one of your callings, is organization and planning.
And I'm glad I got that from you now that I'm older and I have all my own stuff going on.
And you and your sister fold clothes very well. You're welcome.
That's true.
Because you had to kind of, like, you know, you're interacting with them. But
she had a lot of ironing dates.
Yeah.
She had a lot of ironing dates. She used to say, I have a date with the ironing board.
Yeah, I have a hot date.
Yeah, it's a hot date.
I have
date.
A hot date. And I'd get these looks. I'm like, my ironing board. I got iron today.
Okay, that... I have a couple more questions.
Same.
But okay. That leads me into, this might be a tough one. How do you stay spiritually full when you're constantly pouring out?
Well then. That's a deep one.
Well.
It could be right now. You don't have to think back. It could be like yourself right now too.
Yeah, even now, you know, you would think that now having adult children, mm-hmm. And they're married and they have their own lives, or so they're not dependent, you know, on me, mm-hmm. Most of the time. I mean, obviously we still have interactions. I think, I can't remember which one of you, might have been Josh, her brother, that I recently said, we'll always be your parents. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Oh, you said it the other day.
Yeah, didn't I? Doesn't matter. Yeah, it could have been in general to all of you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, you know, till I take my final breath. You know, we're parents.
I remember who you were saying it to. You were saying it to Haley. We were sitting there because her mom was saying something to her now that she's a teen.
Yes, see, she's going through the teen years.
Yeah, so Nancy was saying something to her, and then you said, your mother will never stop being a mother to you.
Yep, we'll always be your parents.
The fact that you recognize that is a beautiful thing, because not every parent does, you know.
They think after they're 18, they're like, I don't have to tell them what to do anymore.
No.
That's where you go wrong.
And again, like, I don't, at least I hope I don't interfere in it. Like, they lead their lives. So. But, you know, my husband and I are always there. Like, you know, yeah, they still, like, mm-hmm. Her brother still, you know, looks to his dad for advice or guidance, yeah. or whatever. And because even as adults, we all still make mistakes or wrong choices or, you know, choices that we have to, you know, learn from or so.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're always going to be parents. So with that said, the reason I brought that up was because, you know, you would think that now I have like all the time in the world, like all the extra time and all that. And I actually don't, because mm-hmm. unlike when we first started in ministry life, you know, when the kids were younger or so, we're in a different ministry today,
right.
Which is, our own family ministry,
right.
Which, you know, we're going into our 12th year. We're in our 12th year. And so that brings a different level of responsibility, you know?
Exactly.
So I still work full time and, you know, obviously outside of the home.
Boring.
Yes.
Boring. I think they said boring.
Sometimes it can be boring.
That's why I'm asking, because you are constantly pouring out.
But, you know, fortunately, so my role, not being as much in the word, meaning like preaching or teaching, I'm able to sit and receive that way. Mm-hmm. Now with, as far as my worship leading, you know, I'm still active with that, but I have over the last, you know, few years started, you know, my son-in-law, married to Sarah, her sister, you know, has just a wonderful calling on his life as well. We've been working together side by side for so many years that he's, you know, at the point where, like, I back off a little bit more, you know, to let him, you know, do what God has called him, you know, to do. I'm still active and still involved. You know, I lead the team, the worship team, or so. We co-lead together. So even mm-hmm. so even doing that, you know, is wonderful, and I'm able to step back a little bit, and I try to, you know, be involved with like other fellowships or so, where I don't have to do a thing, just show up, or so, you know. So, but it's a lot of my interaction with, I have a lot of interaction with the people, like with the women of the church, and you know, we're available to our church family 24/7, you know, pretty much, you know. But God has a way, again, because it's the life that He has created me for.
Mm-hmm.
And the calling that He has on our family, even when it can be heavy or tiresome, that's when, you know, He gives us wisdom to, like, you know, I'm going to take a break and just crash.
He can fill you back up.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes it's just, I just need a day to just step back a little bit and do that crashing thing I said and not do a thing.
Yeah.
And then it's back, you know, back on track.
I just want to say,
uh-oh.
No, not about you specifically, but about what she was saying, because looking at her talk, it's kind of like, reminds me of myself in the moment, because I always have a lot going on, and I have you and one of my other friends always telling me, like, oh, make sure you have time for yourself too, like, don't do too much, mm-hmm. and it, to me, I'm like, oh, I know what I can handle, because this has just always been me, and always our life, we always had things always going on, And so I just want to tell the people out there, what she just said makes sense. God gives us the wisdom to know when we need a break and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's usually what I go by when I do all the things.
Yeah.
I think that's why I laugh when I hear my friends always tell me, like, make sure you take a break, because I'm laughing like, I know, because, like, I don't know, it's always been our life.
Well, it's not like a hit to you. It's like a, it's trying to
encouragement. Encouragement. Yeah. A reminder. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we do need those reminders.
Of our heart.
You know.
Yeah.
But I've been learning. Sure. I've been learning more as I've gotten older, and I'm getting older. You know, and by that I mean, I'm still cool. I think
too.
That's right, too. But you know, but obviously our bodies, you know, change. You know, we physically get more drained. I even notice it in my worship leading, in singing, that, you know, sometimes it's a little more tiring.
Fast songs.
Yeah. it's a little more, tiring, or whatever. And obviously that comes with it, but that doesn't slow us down from doing what God, has called us to do. Sometimes we just have to modify. I've learned to delegate a little bit more. There are certain things that, you know, that I can't delegate, that are especially things that involve, like, the members of the church. So those are private things or whatever. So, you know, that's handled, you know, privately or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other things, like the music, for example, my son-in-law, you know, can take over, you know, the worship set. I can step back if I need to or whatever. And other things, other responsibilities within the ministry that I can delegate. And I've been learning, you know, God's been helping me see, you know what, you can pass that along.
Like, you don't always have to do everything.
Exactly.
That's great to have him as a guide, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. You've even surprised us sometimes when we get on stage and you're standing down there next to Dad, and I'm like, we look at each other like, oh, is she not singing today? And we're like, I guess not.
Nope.
It's weird not having her there in front of me. So
sometimes it depends. It's rare, you know, that I do that.
Yeah.
When I do that, sometimes it's because whatever, there might be something special happening in that particular service that I need to wear a different hat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I need to you know, be next to, you know, by his side or whatever, for whatever's going to take place. And I might not be able to be up there. But the wonderful thing about, you know, when you work with people and along the way, you know, you don't just train up your own kids, but you train up those who you're surrounded by and that work with you to be able to, you know what, I can sit down and the team is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be fine, you know.
One of my other questions was, it doesn't have to be just when you were raising us, unless your scripture has changed, but what scriptures or truth did you hold on to while raising us, or even now?
Girlfriend, bringing you guys up, I took the whole Bible and said, here it is, Lord. Here it is, pounded on my head. I said,
yeah,
no.
Geez.
No, I'm just kidding. You,
I don't think we're that bad.
No, you guys, you guys were really good kids.
But most, even if it's not raising us, like, obviously you have your own moments. Like she said, sometimes you would need, like, your own encouragement, like, during hard times. Like, what scriptures or truth did you hold on to?
So just like from a song perspective, goodness of God kind of sums it all in that respect. I think from a scripture, it would probably have to be Psalm 121. Verses 1-3. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the creator of heaven and earth.
Yes.
He who watches over me never slumbers, never sleeps. I just paraphrased that.
That's beautiful.
That was beautiful paraphrased.
Because I know, right? Because, you know, when life is good and things are as they should be and as you want them to be, that's great. That's wonderful. And it's easy. It's easy to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. But it's when those, you know, challenges, whatever they are, whatever the challenges that we face, and sometimes it is a heavy load, you know, to lead a congregation, to lead a church family or so, because it's made up of people.
Right.
You know, imperfect people, just like us, you know.
Right.
And sometimes the struggles come. That's what we refer to sometimes from a spiritual perspective as the mountains that are in our way. Yeah. Okay, so the mountains, you know, the mountains come, the difficulties come, but what do? We look up to the hills. We look up. We're not at it because it's there. But to get through it, you look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? That's how the scriptures quotes it. It's a question.
Wasn't there a song?
Yeah. My help comes.
Probably.
My help I'll write comes one tomorrow. From the Lord, Savior of heaven and earth.
Yeah, yeah. There are there's another song too that the bridge actually says, "I lift my eyes up."
That's what I was singing in my head.
I lift my eyes up.
Yes.
My help comes from the Lord.
Yep. Yep.
And so when you're looking upward and you're looking towards heaven, and that question, where does my help come from?
Yeah.
My help comes from Creator of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
There's nothing above Him. There's nothing greater than Him.
For sure.
So whatever that mountain is, whatever that issue is, those trials, those difficult times, just keep your eyes focused on Him. Because, and then that, I think it's verse 3, it says something like, He who watches over me never slumbers. He never sleeps.
Nope, He has a lot to work. I mean, to work.
And sometimes
he has a lot of work.
And sometimes I've quoted that scripture during leading worship or so, and I actually expand on that. I say, He who watches over me never sleeps, never slumbers. He never takes a vacation. He's never busy.
Yep.
He never looks the other way. He never walks away, you know?
Right.
So.
And for those new believers or people that are just getting into the faith or been, you know, for a few years, once you feel that help from the Lord, from looking up and relying on Him, that's when it becomes a lot easier to know to look up.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy when it hasn't been instilled in your whole life or you're
absolutely
a new believer.
Of course.
But when you experience that, when you truly surrender to Him and you accept the help from Him, when you feel that and experience that, that's your reminder to always look up and accept the help from Him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful scripture. No matter, there's so many ways you could look
absolutely
at it, you know.
Beautiful.
This is my last question for now.
For now.
Oh, look at the time.
To have one at the end. Okay. I know. We have to move it along.
No, that's okay.
So what has leading worship taught you about God's presence?
Well.
What has leading worship taught you about God's presence?
Well, leading worship, being so much a part of, has always been a part of my life. He has shown me so many times that I'm not just leading songs. I'm not just singing a pretty tune or whatever. It's I'm very big on lyrics, and the worship team knows that you're both on the worship team. And you know that. And it's because what comes out of your mouth is powerful.
Yeah, power of the tongue.
But a lot of people don't always live what comes out of their mouths.
They don't walk the walk.
Exactly.
Or talk the talk.
Right. Yeah. And so leading worship, is so real for me because one, being up front is not really 100% my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I've grown into that
over
the years because that has truly been the calling that God has in my life. So again, He was going to make it work. He was going to orchestrate it. He was going to develop me. He was going to give me that that confidence. And where once the first note hits, there it is. You know, God, it's me and God. You know. It's not always easy. I don't want to make it sound like I was I'm in that zone and nothing else exists. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many a time, especially since I've been doing this for so many years. There have been times that in my head I'm literally saying, I really can't do this. I can't do this because whatever season I'm going through, whatever is going on, whatever is weighing on my heart or on my mind. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then every single moment, again, let's refer back to goodness of God. All my life, You have been faithful.
Right.
There has never been a moment that a lot, I have to actually say, in my experience, a lot of those moments have been the, like, boom moments of worship where God was really, like, that worship, like, took off. Because it's not me. It's God. It's the spirit of God. And, yeah. You know, and letting him take over his presence. You have no other thing to believe than, yeah. Then it has to be his presence.
Yeah.
And what I test, how I test it is because from the beginning, when I was younger, so that's not my personality to be up front.
Yeah.
To be visible.
Hi.
Same with Rachel. Yeah. Right.
At the other church, this is a true yeah. fact. At the other church, we had like a big, you know, way in the beginning, a big wooden pulpit. And that's mm-hmm. where we stood. You know, I had put my music on it, whatever. When the pastor of that church decided he was going to make the church a little more contemporary, and he got an acrylic see-through one, oh, now I'm totally seen.
She thought she could hide.
Oh, man.
But so yeah. I use that as God, God, you really, this is really you, mm-hmm. because I can't do this, you know, without you. And God has proven to me over and over in so many different examples, you know, that I'll save for another time
yeah.
or so, but that that he made his presence real. And even during those times that I was doubting myself, and sometimes the enemy has a way, even while I'm leading worship, mm-hmm. to throw dumb, you know, ideas right. or dumb thoughts into my head, and he just comes and takes over, yeah. you know, and it's just powerful. Because of him, that's him showing me, I got you.
Yep.
I got you. This is what you're called to do, and you're going to do it, and I got you. Even in my lowest moments.
He's just, you know, the best.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He lifts you up, and as long as you're accepting his spirit, he's yeah. going to help you,
yep.
be with you.
And he has a way of showing, like, let me show you how it's done.
Yeah, yeah, right?
It's kind of like, uh-oh, what's going on here? You know? But
I'm so glad we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel God right now, too.
Are you getting the chills?
I just know he's with us right now. And just appreciate everything that you guys, and most importantly, he's done in my life. And I'm just,
amen.
I'm just very grateful. Because I couldn't feel this before, when I came to church several years ago, like I couldn't feel the Holy Spirit before. So I know, like, you now, when you know,
mm-hmm.
like you said, I know what he's done and what he's doing, and that he's here.
And also,
yeah,
before you were probably just talking the talk, but now you're doing both. You're walking and talking.
Exactly.
So
you know what it, you know what that. It means yeah. to walk it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it means to walk it. Yeah.
And the difference that he will supply for you too, mm-hmm. and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. All right. Moving on. So, I was curious and found a beautiful scripture that has your name in it.
It's in Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was gonna say it has to be.
That's the only one, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I had to choose that one, and it went really well.
Okay.
And so 2 Timothy 1:5-7, where Paul writes to Timothy, highlighting the impact of godly women in his life. And so it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity,
mm-hmm.
but of power, love, and self-discipline. So it's just a really good picture of faith being passed down through generations. And we see that kind of legacy in your life, too. The way you lead, love, and pour into others. It's not just something you carry for yourself. And it's something you've influenced in so many around you, just like Eunice in the scripture. verse 5 shows that the influence of faithful women matters deeply, mm-hmm. and it lasts. When Paul says, fan into flames the gift of God gave, that gift God gave you, it means to not let what's been poured into you grow cold, mm-hmm. you know, keep stirring yeah. it up and keep it burning and use it. And verse 7 reminds us that whether we're leading from a platform, home, or behind the scenes, we don't have to lead with fear or hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit supplies the strength, the love, and the wisdom. And just like Eunice in the Bible, and like our guest today, you can walk boldly in the calling that God has given you.
Yep. Yep.
So that's what I had to say about the scripture. I thought it was really pretty.
Yes. Thank you. That was very good. I love it.
I don't know if you remember, but I amped one that I think it was the last amp that we had. We had to go around and say, like, what scripture is what we... It's like what scripture talks to you in the moment or that you've held on to.
Oh, at this time in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I actually used that exact one because this time of my life, obviously, like, I've grown more, like, singing and dancing, and now I'm going into, like, the whole speaking in front of everybody. And so I always held on to that because no matter what aspect I'm doing it in, I always was remembering that he doesn't give us a spirit of fear and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he will always take over. So that's what I had held on to. So when you said it right now, it just brought me back to all that.
I don't recall like ever reading that scripture. So it was cool to dive into that mm-hmm. a little deeper. It's really cool. And with that, I have one more question.
Okay.
So
there it is.
One more question. So what has helped you fan the flame of your calling during difficult or busy seasons? Kind of similar to maybe a question we've asked, but in simpler words, what do you think?
So say it again.
What has helped you fan the flame of your calling, keep it moving, during difficult or busy seasons?
How'd you keep it pushing?
Mm-hmm. Probably talked about it a little already.
Just briefly. Just really taking a moment to just be still.
Yeah. Love that.
Like truly, like just be still. There are sometimes I'll go home and I need to just go to my room. And I'm just there by myself, mm-hmm. and it's very quiet in my room. She knows because it used to be her and her sister's room. And that it's okay to just step back.
Yeah.
Just step back and just take a breath and remind myself audibly. I like to say it audibly, like, God, you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control of this situation. Sometimes I do it even before I get home. I have a 30-minute drive from work.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't even want to listen like to the music, no noise, nothing. Yeah. And just, you know, God, you know the situation, help me through it. You are my strength mm-hmm. to get me through it. You are my peace. And I can't tell you how many times I actually start like feeling like the peace.
Yes.
Just coming, like sipping through, you know what I'm saying? Just sipping through.
Just from asking him.
Yeah. And just, you know, God, you know, just help me. Let me step back. You know, help me to just step back. Even like just this morning driving, I was like, you know, God, I receive your calmness. Yeah. I just need that calmness. I just need that calmness. Yeah. And he's listening. He's listening all the time. Sometimes we're just moving too fast or being too loud or too busy to hear him.
Yeah. You know, and that rest and that stillness will
just
kind of recharge you too for your flame, for what your purpose is and what you have to do. So I like that answer because, you know, keeping all of that alive and going and growing in it, you know, all you have to do is just kind of recharge with God and listen to him.
Yeah.
So that was a great answer.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a great question.
It sure was. Thanks. Boy, those were some very...
I thought about this a lot.
Very good questions.
That's all. That's all for me.
Awesome. That's all for me.
Oh, phew. Thank you.
It's not all for you because you are going to end us in prayer.
All right. Awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great you are. Father, we just don't have enough vocabulary, Lord God, in any language to just express how grateful we are for who you are. So grateful, Lord God, for your sovereignty. And Father, for, Lord, that you are all powerful and that no matter what our lives entail, Lord God, that you are the strength that we need, Lord God. You are the strength that carries us through. And in that strength, Lord, you just pour such peace, Lord God, such peace that just overflows over and over. Father, you know what we need, when we need it, how we need it, Lord God. And Father, thank you, Lord God, for quiet moments. Thank you for reminding us with just a still small voice to tell us to slow down, to step back, and to just allow your calmness to take over. So Father, thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the privilege, Lord God, to just share a little bit of my heart, Lord God, with these beautiful young ladies, Lord God. Father, thank you for helping me through these years, Lord God, of motherhood and now grandma slash vova, and just being who you have created me to be. And Father, I thank you for the honor of watching these two young women have developed into who they are today. Father, I thank you, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you would use each one of us, Lord, in the different ages that we're in and the different stages or experience levels that we have, Lord God, amongst us, Lord God, to just be an encouragement to each other. For Lord, just as we as older women, Lord God, pour into the younger ones and do our best to be good role models for them, Lord God, I thank you for these young ones who truly speak such joy in life into mine. So Lord, I just praise you and glorify you. We thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to share. And we pray, Lord God, that anyone who is listening or has watched or will get something from this conversation and will be encouraged to just keep lifting their eyes to the hills, to just keep focusing on you and allowing you to carry them through life and allowing you, Lord God, to just build such a beautiful relationship with them. So we thank you and praise you for all of these things in the only name that we can call upon, and that's the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. And now,
here's our hymn.
Ish.
Oh boy.
7, 8.
You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch, and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close